like to begin reading in Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews 1:1 speaks of God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets. God in different ways and at different times spake unto the fathers by the prophets. What were those messages that God brought? He brought prophecies of blessings. He brought encouragement. He brought warnings of disaster if people would not obey the Lord. A lot of messages God sent down through the years to His people through His prophets. And God sent many prophets in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11:47, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers. For they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation." Many prophets sent down through the years to God's people. And I'm thinking tonight of warnings that were given that were unheeded. Unheeded warnings. Jeremiah was one of those many prophets, but Jeremiah came at an especially unique time. Jeremiah had a ministry that was especially sad because he was the last messenger of the Holy City. Jeremiah was there and lived through and witnessed the close of the monarchy. When we think about how great the kingdom was, the kingdom of Israel, back during Solomon's reign, its glory and splendor, and we consider how impressed the Queen of Sheba was that came and saw it in all its majesty. And then to imagine all of this great monarchy coming to a close, what a sad time for this man to be sent to minister, to bring the messages of God to the people. In 626 BC, thereabouts, Jeremiah was called to become a prophet. And at this time, the northern kingdom up here, Israel, had already fallen to the Assyrians. About 100 years before, that kingdom was already down. And much of the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, had already fallen. So here, Jeremiah was prophet to this decaying kingdom, weakening kingdom. And he sent, giving them the messages of God. In 606 BC, about 20 years after Jeremiah was called, Jerusalem was partly destroyed. And then in another 20 years, Jerusalem was burned and desolated. What a sad time for a prophet to be trying to warn the people. And what happened during this time is there were many messages from God, warnings that went unheeded. And that is my thought tonight. The warnings that come from God that pass right by people go unheeded. I want to tell you what the Jews were like at the time that Jeremiah was trying to speak to them. These were a people that were given to idol worship. They had idols in the temple. That's how bad it was. Brought their false gods right into the temple of the Lord, and they were worshiping in there. These people were sacrificing their children to the god Molech, that was a sacrifice to the fire, allowing their children to be sacrificed in that way. What a sad time. No wonder Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Such a sad theme. And trying to awaken these people and turn their hearts back to God. The Jews were promiscuous. They were unrestrained and lived a lot like animals. Whether they were married or not, they were given over to sensuality. The Jews were given to deceit and oppression. And the Jews were satisfied with a corrupt government. Does any of that sound familiar? Yeah. How about today? Yeah. Are people content? Scandals can come out on politicians, and people will vote them right back in office. Are people promiscuous today? Are people oppressive? Do we hear anything about violent crimes and how it's increased in the past 30, 40, 50 years? Sad time, isn't it? And yet there are warnings that God, in different ways and different times, all down through time, has been trying to get a message over to people. Turn from your sins. But just as it was in Jeremiah's time and all those prophets that Jesus spoke about that they killed, the warnings are going unheeded. And I'm afraid tonight that there may be someone here that God is sending warnings to, and those warnings are going right by unheeded. Last night we had a warning about living ready, being ready to die at any time. And the night before we heard about the evil, such a danger to us. God is faithful to send us warnings. And I wonder tonight, are those warnings slipping right by us? Or are we paying attention to what the Lord is trying to tell us? Jeremiah tried to turn those Jews from their idolatry. He tried to warn them, if you don't turn from your idols, Babylon is going to come in here and conquer you. But they would not heed the warning. And sure to Jeremiah's prophecy, they were taken by the Babylonians. You would think that a people at that time would consider what had already happened around them. You would think they would be interested in what history was. In school, perhaps they learned about the glory of Solomon's kingdom, how big it was, how their enemies were conquered, how rich Solomon was, how that they were at peace for so many years, things were going so well. You would think they'd know about that. Mom, Dad, why do we just have this little bit of land left? What's going on? Something go wrong somewhere? Well, something did go wrong. There were warnings that had been sent time after time after time, and those warnings went unheeded. In Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah 7, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. This was a warning. Change your ways, and you'll be able to continue to live here in this beautiful city. You will be able to keep worshiping in this magnificent temple, the Lord of Lords. You'll be able to have peace and prosperity. All you have to do is change your ways. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. What a promise. This place has been promised to you. This land flowing with milk and honey. Would you like to stay here? Would you like to be at home? Would you like to have prosperity and peace? You know, the Lord has given us so much. We have a wonderful heritage of truth. God gives us families. He gives us wives and husbands and children. Oh, what a blessing. Would you like to stay right there? Would you like to enjoy the prosperity that comes with all those things? Then, if you been doing any of these things? It's time to change. Execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. Judge righteous judgment, Jesus said. In other words, be fair and just. Oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and don't shed innocent blood. And don't go walking after these other gods. Warnings that were unheeded. Verse 13, and now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do this, do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and it shall not be quenched. Can you imagine being Jeremiah at the entrance of the temple? There's that old man again. Jeremiah, can't you see that we're trying to worship? Jeremiah, can't you try to look on the positive side a little bit? Isn't it awfully arrogant of you to feel like you're the only one that knows how to worship God? You know, Jeremiah, there are other people that have their own ways of worship. Who do you think you are? Can you imagine being Jeremiah? Awfully lonely position, wasn't it? Jeremiah, cheer up. Jeremiah, when you see a glass of water, do you see it half empty or half full? You know, men of God are supposed to be cheering people up, Jeremiah. What are you doing? Warnings unheeded. You know, God's spoken different times in different ways. Well, I don't like hearing that preacher. He just seemed like not quite as cheerful and all that. Well, you know, God uses different manners and different ways to speak to his people, doesn't he? Warnings unheeded. Jeremiah, let me just help you out a little bit here. If you would try to just shift your focus a little. You don't have to change your beliefs. But if you would shift focus and just kind of focus on the positive. I tell you what, people will hear you better. You'll be more popular. And you'll be more successful in your ministry. Warnings unheeded. Verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their necks. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Chapter 37 of Jeremiah. And the king Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made king in all the land. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, verse 1. In the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. I wonder at that time if people started thinking about that old prophet. Perhaps they had said to him, Jeremiah, you keep telling us about our brethren, the Jews of the north, that fell to the Syrians. That was over 100 years ago, Jeremiah. Things are peaceful now. We're all right. Jeremiah, would you just stay out of the past? Now, you live in the past. These are modern times. You need the message that is for today, Jeremiah. You know God doesn't fail. He knows what messages to send. He knows what messengers to use. Yet, so the army besieged Jerusalem. Only city left in the entire army. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. Verse 6, then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. They left the king's eyes healthy enough to watch the murder of his own sons. That'd be awfully rough for them. I can hardly think of anything that I would hate more than to watch my own children, my own family, loved ones being put to death. And then after that, they went ahead and punched his eyes out. Warnings unheeded. Let me tell you, folks, the Lord is merciful to us. He loves us. And that's why he sends us warnings. He sends wake-up calls. Sometimes he may take a loved one. Sometimes he may send sickness our way. And the idea is, can I get a hold of this soul somehow and wake them up to the condition of their soul and cause them to turn to God? Because so many times these warnings will ride by unheeded. In Honduras, where we live, there was a young man named Darson. Darson grew up the son of a single mother. She was separated. And Darson ran the streets. He became involved with drugs. And to support his drug habit, he began stealing. Darson would go up to a younger person in the village, maybe a child, and just snatch money or something of value out of their hand in broad daylight. Darson was desperate. I remember the day that Darson was caught. In Honduras, we have two types of police. We have police that do things like enforcing traffic, the regular police, and then we have what they call soldiers. The soldiers are like paramilitary police. They carry combat weapons. They're in camouflage, and they say they're the ones that go after the really tough criminals. I remember the day the soldiers came and got Darson. And I saw him in the back of that pickup truck going up that hill, this young man, and all the feeling that came over me. I love those young men. I speak to them about their souls many times. There went Darson. They took him over to the prison on the mainland. The prison on the mainland is no comfortable place like the prisons here. They pack him in tight. It's miserable. You go there for a church service and they're saying, can I have a little salt? I'm hungry. Can I have a little bit? Some of those places, those folks are dependent on family, some of those jails, to bring them food or they're hungry. it's tough. That's where Darson was. And when we would hold church services, Darson wouldn't necessarily be there. And I sought Darson out, and I spoke to him. I asked him about his soul. Darson was a tall young man. And I remember standing there looking up at him, and Darson wouldn't say much. He'd look at me a little bit, and he would just look, and I wondered what is going on in his mind. And I encouraged Darson, this is your time to seek the Lord. While you're here is your opportunity. Because once you get out, you're just going to go back to that same old life. This is the best time to seek the Lord. And Darson looked at me, and he was thinking something. I'm not sure why. But that's what Darson did. He got out, and he went back to the same old life. One day, Darson and a group of young men were up on the roof of a house, and the sea was very rough that day. And while they were looking out to sea, they saw something floating on the sea, something being washed. In Central America, drug traffic is great. There's a lot of contraband. And when the drug runners discover that the authorities are chasing them, they'll throw the contraband overboard. Water tank containers, and sometimes some of that will wash up on the shore. So the islanders are eager to get this haul of money. That's what they call it, floating at sea. So these young men got down off the roof, and they rushed down and got into a dory, a small boat that was inadequate for the weather. It was very rough. And they went out there to get that. And no life jackets. Five of them in the dory. The dory went down in the rough waters. And they rescued three, but they couldn't find those. That was on a Thursday. Sunday morning, they found his body washed up on shore. Just maybe a couple of weeks before that, I'd been talking to Darson. What about your soul? He told me, I've been thinking about it. Warnings unheeded. You know, the Lord in His mercy will send warnings. But people will go right by. And oh, the price. They made a plywood box in a hurry. His body was stinking, swollen up. They put him in that plywood box and buried him in a hurry. That made an impression. There was a man named Jesus before the destruction of Jerusalem. Not Jesus the Messiah. Jesus was a common name back in Bible times. Just like Jesus is still a common name in Mexico. Jesus would go through the streets of Jerusalem saying, woe is Jerusalem, woe is Jerusalem. And people thought he was crazy. Jesus, will you quiet down? Can't you see we're trying to have a good time over here? We're trying to have a feast, and here you are. You're interrupting the music. Can't you see we're dancing? Jesus, settle it down. They would beat him. He wouldn't stop. Woe is Jerusalem! He would go around calling out. According to the historian, Jesus was still in there when Jerusalem was besieged, and a piece of artillery, a rock being cast in, killed him. The warnings were unheeded. The people stayed right there in their sinful pleasures day after day. I've got business to attend to. There's another party planned. And the warnings went by unheeded. The Titanic left on her maiden voyage. And there were important people on board. There were very rich people on board. People of very high social standing. And during the night, the radio operator got a warning. There have been icebergs spotted. And I imagine when that warning first came in, that young man probably felt some fear in his heart. Here we are, it's dark. We're going full steam in this great big boat. And he knew something about icebergs. Well, the warning went unheeded. And he started getting more radio warnings. Icebergs have been spotted. But the ship came within radio range of New York City. And remember, there were important people on this ship. There were people in all their finery and all their beads and fancy hats and expensive clothes, and there were important businessmen. And they had business to take care of in New York City. They had social engagements to be at. And I imagine they could just picture themselves in this brand new ship, probably the most magnificent ship ever built in the history of mankind up to that date. They could just picture themselves steaming up to the harbor in New York City. And all the glamour and glory of that, and all these big buildings in front of them, oh, they were excited. Well, he came within radio range of New York. And another warning came in. He started telegraphing Morse code. He started sending by Morse code these messages from the passengers to New York. And he got interrupted by another warning. And his response was, "Shut up, I'm on to New York." Warnings unheeded. Well, we know Titanic went down that night. Not enough lifeboats on board. Many people lost their lives. The rich went down. Those people that had important business engagements went down that night. If someone would have just heeded the warning. And I'm thinking of people on the ship of life. Eternal souls headed out. And God is merciful enough to send meetings like these to say you need to turn. You need to amend your ways. You know the things you've been indulging in secret. God sees that. You need to change them. And those warnings go unheeded. May the Lord have mercy on us tonight. I was struck by this news story. In September of 2008, Hurricane Ike was bearing down on the Texas coast approaching Galveston. Officials issued a certain death warning and ordered 500,000 people to evacuate. Yet, only about 100,000 evacuated. The hurricane flattened houses. 72-year-old George told a friend, "I was born on this island, and I'll die on this island." George had seen many storms in his life. He was native to Galveston. And he had survived every one of those. But the morning before Ike slammed ashore, George began having second thoughts about staying. About 10 a.m., George called Hansen, who had already left to say the water had already slipped over the road toward his house. The street, the only way out of the neighborhood, was already impassable. At 9:30 p.m., George and Hansen talked for the last time. By then, the water had pummeled through George's garage, crushing the doors and submerging his Cadillac. Hansen begged his friend to grab a life vest at his house or to seek shelter there. But at 2:30 a.m., for reasons that no one knows, George got into his pickup and drove off in the height of the storm's fury. Neighbors found George's body the next day inside the truck. It had slammed into a white golf course fence and the windshield was shattered. Warnings, George, get you a life jacket. Go take shelter in my house. Do something. Warnings on me. You know, people are doing that with their eternal souls. Gail, a chemist at Exxon Mobil. This woman must have been pretty smart, huh? Chemist. Did not evacuate. Now remember, the authorities had given a certain death warning. You must evacuate. You have no choice. Get out. People are going to die. Gail did not get out. She reasoned that her house had weathered Hurricane Rita in 2005 without a problem. I've done it before. Nothing happened to me. Has the devil ever used that reasoning on you? She also did not want to leave her dog Reba, who could no longer climb into Gail's Jeep. Now, Reba was a special dog. Gail loved animals. And she would fix roast dinners for Reba. She pampered Reba. And if Reba couldn't get in the Jeep, I guess Gail was going to stay right there with her. Her close friend and neighbor, Burks, and her husband pleaded with Gail to change her mind. They suggested that Gail break into a newly built house that was higher and sturdier than her own. Again, Gail refused, saying she could not force her way into a neighbor's house. I have seen people that it looked like was on the brink of death. Will you make it right with the Lord? And the warnings are on the earth. Hours before Ike made landfall, Gail knew she had made the wrong choice. At 10:10 p.m., Gail made her last phone call. I really messed up this time. Her voice was shaky with fear. Gail's body was found 12 days later, face down, by a huge debris pile in a marsh almost 10 miles away. In February of 2009, months after hurricane, 34 people were still missing. The officials issued a certain death warning because the storm surge would be the greatest since 1915. Well, I want to tell you something about all the folks that were in Galveston. I would say that probably none of them could know what that storm surge was like, because probably almost every one of them had been born after 1915. And if they had been born before, they probably weren't old enough to remember what it was like. What a time to listen to the authorities that know what's going on. But yet, the warnings went unheeded. So they had no way of knowing how severe the storm was going to be. Later, experts puzzled over why tens of thousands of people ignore a certain death warning. You know, the saints, the ministers, puzzle over that. Why is it? Destruction has come. It's real. There is a hell. And if you die in your sins, you're going to hell. Certain death warning. And we puzzle. Why is it? How can he grow up among the saints, spend all his life, come down to the end of his life, and just step right off into hell? How can it happen? And yet we still try to sound the warning. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Somebody paid attention. Whosoever will hear these sayings of mine and do them. Whoever will listen to the warnings. Gail, get into a safer house. The house they tried to get her to break into stood the storm. And Jesus is giving warnings today. Whoever will listen to the Word of God and apply it to their life. Whoever will say no to the world, to the sensual pleasures, to rebellion, to hatred, to all these things. Whoever will say no to all those things and hearken unto the sayings of the Lord and do them. Listen, you're not going to have to worry about the storm. Your house will stand. Other people are going to be lost. They'll never be found. There were five young men in the dory that day. One of them, they never found his body. And I imagine that was tough on Mom and Dad. They lived right there in the village by the sea, in the same village. And I imagine that they were thinking, was it sharks? Did he just end up on the bottom somewhere? Where's my son? This same young man that they never found came into young people's meeting one night, drunk. Caused a commotion in the young people's meeting. Folks, it's serious. Let's listen to the warnings. He didn't think it would be an end so soon. Darson's time of stealing is over. Warnings unheeded. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not, Darson, Gail, George, and will it be you, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. But my house has stood. I've been able to do it before, and I got away. Nobody caught me. I tell you what, there is a storm coming that you have not seen the likes of it, and your house will fall if it is not built on the rock. There is something coming greater than anything you have ever experienced in your life. Something that is going to shoot feelings of terror and horror like you have never experienced. It is coming. I'd like to read about that day in 2 Peter. I shared this same scripture with the school children in Honduras. We had paper mache ball and suspended it up in the air. And up in the upper story, the chapel floor, second floor, I had some people hidden. Andrea was there with her clarinet. Brother Dennis was there with the PA system. And I was sharing this scripture about the end of the world. And I wanted to make an impression on these children's minds. And I had some gasoline. And I said, this represents the wickedness of the whole world. And I began pouring that gasoline all over that paper mache globe. And while I was sharing the thoughts of the end of time and how God can see everything that we're doing, Andrea made that trumpet sound. And Brother Dennis has a big, gruff voice, deep voice. He said, time shall be no longer. And that world went woof in flames. Those children were there about open mouth. That made an impression. And one of those girls came to Sister Judy the next day. She wanted to be saved. I wanted to make an impression. Folks, it is real and it is coming. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. People are going to be going out to the dance halls, to the movie theaters. They're going to be out on the beach with all the lust and sin. They're going to be out cheating and stealing and lying. And all of these things are going to be doing their normal daily duties. They're going to be neglecting their eternal souls. And the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing that these things are going to happen, don't you think we ought to heed the warnings? In Proverbs chapter 29, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Certain death zone. I think if I had heard that warning, I would have had some fear in me. If you are in sin tonight, you are in a certain death zone. The wages of sin is death. It's coming. Certainly. And unlike the folks in Galveston, some of them survive. You will not survive. Certain death. Warnings unheeded. Has the Lord been warning you? Has He been talking to you about something in your life? I am glad that there is a gift available to us. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What can you plead, poor sinner, in that great judgment day? Heaven now offers you faith. Oh, do not cast it away. Slighted, the warnings repeated, leave you in Satan's control, and with all heaven rejected, lost your soul. Slighted, the warnings. To slight means to pay little or no attention to. How's that? Icebergs ahead. Hurricane coming like we've never seen in our lifetimes. Darson, this is your chance. While the Lord can deal with you before you get out to those temptations, Darson, I can't talk to him anymore. But I want to warn you tonight, if you're on that road, you do have a chance. There is a gift available to you. And I'm so thankful. I've thought different times of the Lord's mercy on me. I was a sinful young man. I liked motorcycles. I liked fast cars. God had mercy on me. Spared my life. I could have been taken out. Let's heed the Lord.